This is Glenn Hauser with World of Radio, 1912. World of Radio is a listener-supported public service program about communications around the world, above all shortwave. On this edition, recorded January 10th, Albania, Argentina, Australia, Bhutan, Bonaire, Brazil, Bulgaria, Denmark, Goa, Hawaii, India, Indonesia, Iran, Kurisimus Island, Korea North, Mexico, Myanmar, Nauru, Nigeria, Solomon Islands, Somalia, South Carolina, Tibet, USA, and the Propagation Outlook. Standard disclaimer, Wolfgang Büschel notes a problem with the Albanian relay of China Radio International on 6020. They combine two 150-kilowatt transmitters. However, as confirmed by a screenshot, there are two different audio signals. One is 10 kilohertz wide, the same program in English, 20 kilohertz wide. For instance, January 6th at midnight 41 UT, he says, Vienna waltz music totally distorted each other. This kind of combination of two transmitters is totally faulty. RAE, Argentina to the World, sent their version of the new relay schedule via WRMI effective January 8th. I went over this last week, but not everything is exactly the same. At least the English broadcast at 02 UT remains on 9395, and that is UT Tuesday through Saturday. The Japanese and Chinese broadcasts are at 08 to 10 UT on 9455, Monday through Friday, except they were not heard on the first Monday of this period, so maybe they really mean Tuesday through Saturday. Portuguese at 12 UT on 9955 is also labeled Monday through Friday, but it does not mention the parallel frequency during this hour, 9455. German and Italian are at 19 to 21 on 9395, Monday through Friday. Once again, I cannot hear German on the first day of this new schedule. And in the meantime, the old times for German and Italian, 2 hours later on 11580, have been removed from the schedule. Spanish still at 22 weekdays on 5950, and French at its new half-hour time, 2330 weekdays on 7780. Adrian Corol, director of RAE, also sent a note about their plans for this year when they're celebrating their 60th anniversary. They're looking forward into moving into new studio facilities in the historical Radio Nacional building, and also hope to have their own new transmitter back in service sometime this year. In March, they will inaugurate new and better content in their 8 languages, he says. And there will be a special QSL, a new website, and much more. There's conflicting information about the true power for the low-power Australian on 5055 4KZ. Ron Howard forwards some postings from the WRTH FB. Craig Allen is the owner and operator of Aussie Radio on 5045. Tim Brielle got mail from Curtin about 5055, saying in 2 or 3 weeks we should be up to 1.2 kilowatts. Craig Allen was talking about all of these stations. I say all because another one is expected right between them on 5050 for the west coast of Australia and 4835 for the middle. 50-50, of course, will go head-to-head with Beibu Bay Radio in China with 15 kilowatts, and 4835 will be unfortunate, conflicting with the only frequency from AIR Gangtok Sikkim. Another problem is over-the-horizon radar, which on January 8th, Ron Howard says, was blocking reception of both 5045 and 5055. About BBS Bhutan 6035, Ron Howard reports a late sign on January 8th. It didn't come on until 0146, by when it was just too weak. However, on January 10th, he was hearing it from 1131 until off at 1225 with above-average reception in English with pop songs, 1200 into vernacular. Until 1201, it was mixing with PBS Yunnan China, and then Bhutan suddenly went off at 1225. Dr. Hans-Jörg Wiener forwards news from TWR Bonaire, dated December 14th, unwrapping special gift, new transmitter. This afternoon, 8 wooden crates with a 450-kilowatt transmitter got unwrapped by the TWR staff on Bonaire. The crates arrived at the site at a symbolic moment right after our Christmas lunch. The station director says, "I'm overjoyed. Everything is progressing so well." An amazing amount of installation work has been done this year, so most of us take some well-deserved time off. In January, we plan to hook up the new transmitter and test it. Pray that the signal will reach into the new areas we hope to cover and even beyond. When the signal is going strong, we'll need to promote the 800 AM frequency in the new regions, so many people will tune in and become regular listeners. On January 5th and 7th, I found that the Brazilian Voz Missionaria had finally fixed its off frequency. It had been wandering above and below 9665, but when I checked between 06 and 7 UT, it was very close to the proper frequency, measured 11 hertz high January 7th at 0616. Here's why Super Radio Del Amor we're not hearing later in the afternoons and evenings on 11764.6. In Ontario, Mark Cody says, on January 6th, he was listening from 1855 UT, but they cut off the air at 1859. Denmark is back on shortwave, but is it a pirate or not? Mike Barraclough in England reports on Sunday, January 7th, World Music Radio on 5840 at 0910 UT. Checked the online Twenta SDR at 0950, and it was a steady S9 signal parallel to the web stream. From the WMR Facebook via British DX Club, World Music Radio relaunches on shortwave after 13 years. On January 8th, 2005, a hurricane-force storm knocked down the transmitter aerial of WMR at the site near Karup in western Denmark and silenced WMR on 5815 with 7 kilowatts. After a short break of 13 years, WMR is now back on shortwave on new frequency 5840, commencing January 7th at midnight. This time only low power 100 watts into an inverted V aerial at the new transmitter site near Randers, Denmark. Later, medium wave 927 and shortwave 15805 kilohertz will be added. The music format is tropical world music, and WMR can also be heard online streaming at www.wmr.radio. Mark Cody in the Ontario DX Association reports All India Radio via Panaji Goa on 11620, January 5th at 1234 in Tibetan. An interesting format of FLDGI tones similar to VOA Radiogram, then subcontinental and Asian ballads at 1306 recheck, to FLDGI tones at 1316 and more subcontinental vocals at 1329. Mark says, "I wonder if AIR are broadcasting personal messages to listeners in Tibet with these digital messages. Sounds like a good way to get information through jamming and atmospheric conditions." And more from Mark Cody in Ontario about WWVH in Hawaii. He heard it on 15 megahertz at 2148 January 3rd. But according to the NIST website, their 5 megahertz frequency is at reduced power of 2.5 instead of 10 kilowatts due to a transmitter fault. And here's another fault from India, 4920. January 6th at 1355, I was hearing a hum roar at S4 to S5. It had been established the previous day by Ron Howard, Wolfgang Büschel, and Jim Young that this is the All India Radio Chennai or Madras transmitter, very out of order, not the other station on the frequency, Tibet. However, by January 8th, Ron Howard in California says it was no longer buzzing, but mixing as usual with Tibet. Ron Howard says, "There are a number of days now that Indonesia has no presence on shortwave at all. The voice of Indonesia has been missing from almost 9526, and the only other active station, 3325, Pro 1, RRI Palangkaraya, was also missing for a while, but it was back January 8th at 1601 with nice signal strength, the full ID with frequencies. Best to listen on upper sideband to avoid Korea on 3320. He says this has been the only Indonesian on shortwave recently. January 8th was another day without VOI on 9525.95. Kim Elliott, Alan Rowe, Wolfgang Büschel, and Iwe Vonov all note some expanded transmissions of Radio Farda for Iran, no doubt inspired by the recent demonstrations. Details in the new DX Listening Digest, number 18-02, when published via worldofradio.com. The transmitter sites involved are Lampertheim in Byblis, Germany, Kuwait, and Udorn, Thailand. Initially in December, I was hearing that just barely audible carrier from Radio Kiribati from Christmas Island, Kirisimas, on 846 kHz. Just about every night, whenever I checked, around 06 to 07 UT. But more recently, it's been inaudible and suspected off the air. I was hearing it again January 5th at 0629 and January 10th at 0714. Gary DeBock, who recently visited the Big Island of Hawaii, says if 846 is not pounding in after local sunset in Kona, then its transmitter is almost certainly QRT. It was on the blink last month, so certainly not very surprising. Ivo Ivanov in Bulgaria and Ron Howard in California note that Seabreeze, or Shogaze from Japan for North Korea, was not in English as it has been usually on Thursdays at the 13 to 14 UT broadcast on 6085. That was January 4th. Instead, they were in Japanese and Korean during that hour, which are languages they use other days of the week. So is this a permanent change? We'll only find out by checking January 11th, the following Thursday. January 5th at 1323 UT, I was hearing two Mexicans on 700 kHz, and I could separate them by nulling. They're a few degrees apart. XEGD in Parral, Chihuahua was the weaker one, and XEETCH in Etchohoa, Sonora, the stronger one, even though it's further away. That is a very interesting station, as it caters to a native audience with IDs also in native language. In Spanish, it's known as La Voz de los Tres Rios. Myanmar has shown up on a new frequency, which the hams consider an intruder, since it's on the boundary between the Hammond broadcast band, 7200. Wolfgang Büschel forwards info about this from the intruder alert mailing list. It was heard by Ralph in Thailand on 7200 at 1050 UT, January 10th. Wolfgang Büschel also reports it using a remote receiver in eastern Thailand. It's on the air apparently from 0930 until 15 UT, according to the Aoki list. Ron Howard in California also reports it. January 10th at 1323 to 1358, Myanmar Radio, with a non-stop lecture in their distance learning service in vernacular, but many mentions in English of industrial organization, industrial psychology. There was interference from some amateurs. Without the interference, the strong signal would have had good reception. Audio ended after the theme music at 1356, but the transmitter went off at 1358. David Koenig of intervalsignals.net, where he has a clip of this, says Radio Nauru in the Pacific transmits on FM 105.1 and now has a live stream discovered by Dutch DXer Rudy van Dalen. It does not have its own website, but the government site has a link to the stream at www.naurugov.nr. It identifies as FM 105 and opens at 1805 UT and closes at 1200 with a national anthem. The media magazine you monitor with your mind, World of Radio 1912. Also bringing you the non-commercial website, worldofradio.com. Our thanks this week for financial support from an anonymous contributor via PayPal and a non-anonymous contributor, Henning Fallbrook, who says, keep up the good work. Our PayPal address is WORADIO@yahoo.com. One may also contribute by money order or check in U.S. funds on a U.S. bank to P.O. Box 1684, ENIDOK, 7-3-7-0-2. Kim Elliott broke news of a new Hausa shortwave service by the people who brought us Radio Biafra. The website of IPOB, the Indigenous People of Biafra, said the Hausa radio service would start on Saturday, January 6th at 7 p.m. Nigerian time on 15110. That is 18 to 19 UT. So, we were all trying to hear it and nothing showed up. Then Ivo Ivanov discovered an additional registration for the Bulgarian site on that frequency at 16 to 17 UT. So that turned out to be the correct time. The people going by the IPOB website were out of luck. They are calling it Radio Nigeria, and their FB says, Radio Nigeria Hausa Service, Yanuwana Mutanen Areva, the voice of truth, 15110, 7 to 8 p.m. daily. Richard Langley checked at both times, 15110 on Sunday, January 7th, still didn't hear it. But finally, on Monday, January 8th, it was showing up at 16 UT on 15110. Actually, Richard Langley was not hearing it until after 16:30. There was interference from Adventist World Radio on 15105 until a few minutes before then. IPOB publicity about this says, those deluding themselves with the laughable and perverse notion that IPOB has been weakened because of the absence of our leader is in for an almighty shock. This move is the beginning of a mass revolution against our oppressors that will spread outside the borders of Biafra land. The coming of this new and revolutionary Radio Nigeria House of Service will expose centuries-old dark secrets through education of the oppressed Hausa Fulani youths that IPOB and Biafra mean well for them, contrary to the lies being peddled by their corrupt leadership. The January issue of CIDX Messenger has this, explaining the situation at Solomon Islands Broadcasting. It's from Ashley Wickham, CEO of SIBC, on their website. A number of print and radio outlets have published stories about SIBC's difficulties. In some cases, two stories have been conflated, confusing listeners. On Tuesday, December 12th, Solomon Power, SIEA, disconnected power at SIBC's Rove studio headquarters, believing SIBC was behind in its payments. This caused SIBC to run on a standby generator until the matter was resolved. An accounting error was discovered, checks were exchanged, and we returned to normal business operations on December 15th. SIBC has since had no difficulty with connectivity to mains power. Coincidentally, on December 15th, the Board of Directors approved the implementation of the first phase of the SIBC contingency plan, developed earlier in the year when SIBC feared the government cash flow situation might deteriorate to the point it could not pay its bills and its contracted commitments. The plan was devised so that SIBC would not be allowed to collapse for lack of funds, but be strategically reorganized so that its essential service role of broadcasting national disaster and emergency warnings and public information was not disrupted. Action 1, the medium-wave transmitter serving the central Solomons, would be switched off. People would still be able to hear SIBC's dual-frequency shortwave transmitter, and medium-wave was switched off shortly after December 15th. Power for the FM 96.3 transmitter was raised to 800 watts. Daily shortwave transmission hours reduced from 18 to 12. This means the transmitter would be switched off during off-peak times, when there is less listenership. Also, transmitters would be powered for as long as possible by standby generators. And the evening FM and shortwave programs would be merged to reduce staff costs. This has already been done. And there's more. Anyhow, the original shortwave schedule before the curtailments was 5020 at 05 to 12 and 19 to 22 UT and 9545 at 22 until 05. Nevertheless, on January 3rd, Ron Howard found 5020 playing the national anthem at 1201, then dead air. But after that, he can make out some low modulation music as late as 1610. And Don Moman in Alberta was also getting a decent signal at 1636. Mark Cody in Ontario suspects he heard Puntland radio from Somalia on 13800, not reported in quite a while, perhaps because it's co-channel to Radio Dabanga via Madagascar. On January 7th, he was hearing Dabanga at 1537, mentioning that name, but with a weaker station underneath at 1538 in Somali, maybe mentioning Somalia at 1541 during a brief peak. So, a presumed logging, and the first time I have possibly heard Puntland radio. South Carolina non. Kai Ludwig reports that the overcomer was gone from the Bulgarian relay as of January 3rd, no longer heard on 5900 or 11600, and other programming on 9400. And I kept hearing him on WWRB, but by January 7th, the overcomer frequencies were missing all the time, 9370 and 3185. More about that later. But still being heard on WWCR. As of January 10th, Ivo Ivanov notes that Voice of Tibet has jumbled its split frequencies again via Tajikistan, observed as follows in Chinese, at 13 to 1308, 11627, 1308 to 1315, 11633, and 1315 to 1330 back to 11627. Terry Kruger in Florida reports, WH2XDE Slant 3, an experimental station in Wayland, Massachusetts on 1790 kHz. January 7th, fairly decent level with CW calls, VVV test, and something else, thanks to a tip from David Crawford. It's licensed for 5,000 watts on various frequencies between 1720 and 1800 kHz in various modes, including CW, teletype, and voice. The address listed is in Victor, New York, for Kestrel Electronics. This previously was on 1740 and 1750. A QSL card would be sent to, if reported, to ked283@gmail.com. The operator says this is currently just running as a propagation beacon, and as you may recall, it even carried World of Radio for a while a few years ago. Besides the 1.8 milliwatt K6FRC beacon, I heard another one 1 kHz down on 13564, January 3rd, at 1441. I could just barely make out the ID as RF, as in Romeo Foxtrot. It's on the LWCA Hifer list, but the location not known on 13564.330. It does, however, give a grid location, which would be in West Virginia or Virginia. Larry Nebron in California says, Glenn, would you be surprised if at least 80% of World of Radio listeners listen on a downloaded podcast or on your site? Is there anyone out there who can set up a Twitter poll? Well, I have never done any audience research about World of Radio, but I would not be surprised. I have doggedly kept it primarily on shortwave since it's all about shortwave. But just being online would be a lot less frustrating and easier to manage. I dream of not having to meet strict weekly deadlines and a 29-minute length limit. Of course, that still applies to all the non-shortwave stations and webcasters who carry this program. So let's hear from those who depend on World of Radio only via shortwave. Recovering from a cold this week, I'm recording a day later than usual, which means the first broadcast, I hope, would be Wednesday at 2200 on WBCQ 7490. And following the changes at WRMI, here are the remaining times for World of Radio. Thursday at 2230 on 5850. Saturday at 2300 and UT Sunday at 0200 on new 7780. UT Monday at 0430 on 9955 and 9455, I hope, as we were preempted again this week for the New Year's Eve program. UT Tuesday at midnight 30 on 7730. Tuesday at 2030 on 7780 and 9455, and 2130 Tuesday on 9455. Getting back to our podcast, I had a complaint from one listener that last week's program stopped 10 minutes into it
and then started looping, repeating the first part only. I couldn't find anything wrong with my file, and I wonder if anyone else has this problem or can explain what it is or what to do about it. World of Radio has also been showing up at some unscheduled times on 9330 from WBCQ during their extended testing period. However, that was missing for a few days, perhaps due to the severe weather up in Maine. I found 9330 back on the air January 10th at 0700, just when it was covered up by the Cuban number station. Alan Weiner Worldwide has been talking about big things happening this year at WBCQ, which he could not give us details about. However, there was a story in Radio World January 3rd which says Ampagon is about to deliver and install its first rotatable shortwave high-power array antenna on the North American continent, to be installed at WBCQ for transmission of up to 500 kilowatts. Offers different radiation patterns, a gain of up to 23 dB, and a single-shaft structural design. It acts as a rotatable and supportable axis able to absorb static and dynamic forces originating from antenna components, allowing the system to function under extreme weather conditions. I found this rather incredible, since Alan has always had a do-it-yourself ethic and has been raising funds little by little to replace the burned-up transmitter. I asked him if this story is correct, but no reply. Until WWRB took 9370 and Brother Scare off the air, that transmitter was putting out spurs, the separation varying slightly, around 136 kHz, 9234, and 9506. But that's not all. Mark Taylor in Wisconsin in the NASA flash sheet was hearing additional spurs at double that separation, such as 9637.5. On January 4th, I got a message from Dave France of WWRB, but not mentioning the overcomer. He says WWRB is being operated as a hobby shortwave station. We will cut our airtime rates to $25 an hour with 100 kilowatts. This is the dead cost to operate. Only one-hour time slots will be sold. Programming will be religious or music in most any form. No gold dealers or Save America Patriot programming. Political programming must have religious content. No commercial programming. Our main focus is aviation. In the process of building another aircraft runway, we have removed some towers to make room for the new runway. It's laid out and under construction. We will keep 3215, 3185, and 9370 as prime well-established frequencies. These plus 100,000 watts full AM will make sure broadcasters will be heard and not waste their money trying to be heard. Via Manuel Mendez, Atlantic 2000 International will have a special broadcast Sunday, January 14th via WINB 9265 at 21 to 22 UT. Also at least on January 6th and 7th, Kim Elliott's shortwave radiogram was experimentally on WINB Sunday at 1:30 and 23:30. The propagation outlook from Boulder, geomagnetic field active, but not too bad, peaking January 15th with ANK indices of 15 and 4, and on the 20th, 12 and 4. Lowest A's and K's of 5 and 2 on January 12th and 13th, 17th to 19th, and 24th to 27th. Solar flux, 70, rising to a peak of 72, January 22nd to 27th. And that's World of Radio. 1912, Glenn Hauser inviting you to hear me again next week.